We keep hearing about restaurants looking for staff, desperate for staff, just to be able to open normal hours. We know that there's a labor shortage in general, but there is one sector where there are employers actually willing to give you a big raise to leave the competition, come work for them. We're talking specifically construction. Let's find out more. Richard Lyle is back. He's president of the Residential Construction Council of Ontario. Richard, thanks for your time.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Headhunting in construction. Who knew?
Well, you know, it's not something new, actually. That's been going on for a while. And of course, you know, immediately prior to COVID, we were pretty much going flat out as it was. Of course, COVID has introduced a whole range of challenges for the industry. So, yeah, it's picked up.
Now, why is there sudden demand? Is it because construction is like the real estate market on fire? Is it because people don't want to work? Have we come to this?
Well, there are still people that are on CERB, and so that's going to, for one reason or another, and so that's going to have an impact as CERB comes off. And of course, we've been doing a heck of a job in the government of Ontario with promoting the sector, and we're working on the immigration side of things and so on, because of course, you know, not enough of our immigrants have the skilled trades that we do need on an immigration level to begin with. So you've got those things happening. There's no question, as we know, that COVID knocked the snot out of our production schedules by delaying, you know, with as you said, the supply chains, on-site logistics, delivery of materials. You know, we went to extended hours, so we were able to deal with many of those things, but you still have a problem. Like, say, for example, with men and material hoists, you can only, you know, COVID limited how many people we can move up and down, and that slowed things down, and other effects. So we've got a bit of a pig in the python right now, where we're working our way through the delays that we experienced. Now, it wasn't as bad. We averted disaster, I was going to say, because, of course, housing is a need, and therefore the government recognized it as an essential industry. So we were able to maintain and get back up to, you know, our pre-existing production levels. But we still have delays that we're working through. And, of course, you know, when you're looking for people, and we, as I said, we were busy before COVID. Our members are, I mean, we've got a lot of exhausted people in the industry right now, because they're working flat out to just get stuff built. And they're looking for people that can help pick up the slack. So you will have competition and you will have poaching.
Okay, so there's a couple of issues to unpack. Let's go first with poaching. What typically would a salary per hour pay, and how much is the competition willing to pay for you to cross the street?
Oh, geez. You know, I wouldn't even know where to start with that.
Is it significant?
It all depends. It can be in certain situations. You know, it's all demand and supply, right? It's like anything else. It's like housing demand and supply, and one of the reasons why we're trying to fix the housing supply situation, because of the effect that it has on prices. There are some extraordinary circumstances where people will go to great lengths to try to get the people they need to get the buildings built, because, of course, you know, in the housing industry, when you sell a house and you're under production, you've got some hard dates in there according to warranties and you know, there's financial considerations. So you got to get the job done and you got to have the people there. So, but it will vary. You've got, you know, a lot of our, I'll put it to you this way, our main builders, our long-established builders who have long-established relationships with their trade, sometimes multi-generational, they're pretty stable. They're hitting their targets, and you know, in certain situations there is bonusing that's going on,
right,
and that kind of thing, relative to the current circumstances. But our forecasts looking out are that by 2023 we'll have worked our way through this, and then things start to flatten out after that. Our production forecasts are pretty stable in terms of how many units of housing we're going to be building. And our workforce will be more stable then at all levels. I mean, you know, like one of the things that's really in demand right now that a lot of people don't see is that some of the technology related to building information modeling and skills associated with that are in high demand because, you know, we've one of the things that a lot of people are missing right now, and it's not properly measured, but we're in the sort of late beginning stages of a real bump up in productivity in the application of technology to the industry. And of course, a lot of people don't realize construction is a technology based industry now, and it's advancing rapidly. So there are productivity factors and productivity improvements at play here that will become more apparent in a year or two. And new additional opportunities for young people to enter the industry.
Well, let's talk about that, because if somebody is looking for a career change and there's there's help wanted signs, what in terms of the trade specifically, qualifications, what do they need to have to be able to qualify for a job like this?
It's funny, depending on what part of the industry you're coming in at, but what you fundamentally need is a great attitude. And you need to be on time. And
it's just like radio.
Absolutely.
You can't be late for a show.
Well.
Yeah.
But, 80 to 90% of our training in the industry, this is on at the skill trades level, is really on-site training.
Yeah.
And of course, in the pandemic, quite a few apprentices were laid off. That's one of the problems that we need to fix so we can support them better, and employers need to be supported better to take on apprentices. But it's on-site training. We've got other things, obviously in engineering and architecture, there's a big university component to that as well. But there's still, again, project training that you can learn stuff in school, but then when you get out in the real world, you got to do it.
Here's the question. Where do these people, the people who are, entry level, willing to learn, apprentice, whatever, where do you apply for a job like that?
So there are various places to go. Of course, the industry, there's a lot of well-known players in the industry, and they do, some of our leading companies now have basically talent management departments. It's not so much human resources anymore. They're looking for talent. They're looking for the right people with the right attitudes and with the requisite skills, although they are prepared to train people too, as I said, on site. Community colleges in Ontario have a lot of great programs in the skilled trades area, and surprisingly enough, many of them, at least just at the beginning of the pandemic, were oversubscribed in terms of, so what that means is that there was high demand, and there's only so many seats, so there are limitations on how many people can get into an apprenticeable situation. And then, of course, the community colleges have developed a lot of construction technology programs over the last decade to train people in the area of construction management. We've got a relationship. We have a ResCon program with George Brown College, for example, where we take three-year diploma graduates and we put them through a specialized program at the end of that and then provide them with a placement. It's been a great program. And of course, George Brown College is a leader, not just in Ontario, of course, but globally in terms of construction management training. Yeah. And then, of course, you've got the engineering and architecture and those types of programs. And then, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't say that there are many union and quite often joint labor management training programs and training centers in Ontario that do a terrific job. I'm actually, full disclosure, I'm a trustee on the local 183 training center, which has been a key player in developing and training people for decades now. And of course, local 183 is it's the biggest construction local union in North America. It's got over 60,000 members. So. So I've been involved in as a trustee in how that is run and who gets trained and why and this kind of thing, and a lot of innovation there over the years. So there's lots to come.
Yeah.
There's a good Royal Bank report that came out recently on skilled trades and the situation, and it pointed out that our immigration system is not working effectively, in the sense that the percentage of immigrants that should have skilled trades experience and so on is actually, you know, we're not hitting the targets at all. And so one of the things we're looking at there, well, if you think about it, you know, we've got, we're struggling with building what we're building now. And yet if we can solve the housing supply crisis, we're going to be building more. So we're going to need more people. We're going to need more technology. We're going to need more innovation, but we are going to need more people. And it just stands to reason that a requisite percentage of the immigrants to Canada should have skilled trades experience. They should be skilled trades.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, help build this country. And that's and that continues in 2021. Yeah. Let's talk about the issues through the pandemic in terms of supply chain issues, shortage of lumber and so on. Is that now all behind us? Back up and running as normal?
I wish it was. And of course, you know, our industry is like the supply chain in housing is probably, you know, the only thing that comes close to it in terms of complexity is like the automotive production, right? So when you're missing parts along the way, it can disrupt the entire supply chain. So and the production of things coming down the road. So we've had a real problem with that in the last while. Of course, you know what the lumber story. Lumber prices went right through the roof, and now they've settled back down again. But we still have some challenges in the lumber area where you've got things we call LVL, some of the manufactured wood products that that involve glues and things like that where, you know, the glue supply got hammered, and not necessarily because of COVID. You know, it could be, you know, a hurricane on the Gulf Coast where a lot of these chemicals are made. You know, this kind of thing. So you have these unusual disruptions, and
the pandemic just made it worse. I should show you my million-dollar deck one day. I'll show you, Richard. I'm joking, but it sure felt like it.
it was crazy for a while there. We've still got pressures in certain metals. You know, copper, steel. The availability of certain wire products, the availability of certain white goods, the availability of certain other materials, and of course, you know, when you have the supply chain upsetting projects, all the schedules kind of get out of whack, and so then, you know, that kind of just in time system that we had. Not to the extent that you have it in the automotive industry, of course, but it's there. It gets really disrupted. So it's a real challenge right now getting through it, but it's getting better.
There you go.
It's settling down.
We like to hear that because everything seems to be getting better. I appreciate we covered a lot of ground. Thank you, Richard.
Yes, my pleasure. Thank you.
Richard Lyles, president of the Residential Construction Council of Ontario, and if you heard there, lots of opportunities if you want to go into the trades and at various levels from entry to a little more expertise.